you know, he has a very nice voice. Mm-hmm. So it lets them. Well, you're welcome. I've even gotten to the point where I'm like, this is too good.
No. Make it uglier.
This needs to be grittier and dirtier.
They walk in, they're like, what the hell is this? And then I start riffing vocally. Mm. Like, I start speaking fake English.
Oh, yeah.
Someone can now say,
This sounds like
a Matt Black thing.
That's or, awesome.
And I think for me, that's probably the biggest achievement.
Welcome to another episode of Icon Presents. Today, I am joined by a few members of the Dark Wave Industrial Electronic Group, Matt Black, Alex, and Biddy.
Yes, sir.
Nice to meet you guys. How are you guys doing today?
Amazing. Thank you for having us.
No problem at all. I am truly honored to have you guys in here. This is going to be an interesting one for me because I am familiarizing myself with your type of music. I'm a sound engineer and audio engineer and all that. So I tend to look at music as like how it has multiple purposes, right? Yeah. How you can get into use it for obviously for listening and enjoyment and all that kind of stuff. But I'm also big into videography and everything as well. And so just your music has a very cinematic sound and it tells a lot of stories without having a lot of lyrics and words in there, which is an interesting craft that you guys have kind of mastered. So I'm looking forward to this interview, kind of getting into know you guys a little bit more. I know there's a third member of the group, Daniel, that's not here with us today. But tell me about you guys. How did you guys meet?
Probably in third grade, man. I met Daniel in third grade. I think we're looking for what class we're gonna go on.
Okay,
it's that first day of class.
That used to be magic.
Yeah, remember I used to go like work to see where your name was, and that's where I met Danny.
Nice,
met Danny there, and I met him in middle school, junior high.
Okay,
and then we've been inseparable ever since.
Mm, okay, yeah, so. Got you. So, how did that relationship, you know, growing up, basically growing up together, and then how did that transfer over into doing music together?
Well, that's kind of another cool part of it is that we all kind of grew up together as kids. So, you know, you got the whole school aspect. And I just remember being in multiple classes with you in junior high, like computer science class or PE or all these different kind of classes. So we all, like, it was, you know, junior high for us was, you know, especially as like young boys was just havoc. I mean, all we did was we were troublemakers.
Oh, yeah.
We were the odd kids. I mean, we were just always joking around. And I just remember him mostly before we got into being in a band or playing music. It was just us getting in trouble or us just doing just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
As teenage boys usually do. As boys, period.
They were the first ones. Music was always in my life.
Okay.
You know, I do come from a family of musicians.
Oh, nice.
All my uncles, all my aunts, they all sing. They all play music. My uncle's a music teacher. If you go to one of our parties, you're going to sing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make you sing. It's full-on performance. Like, everyone goes in. And even when I go there, like, they're like, you're going to sing whatever weird songs you like, but you're going up there.
Exactly. That's the same way I grew up.
And that's the way it was, but I didn't get into a band. I got into a band mainly because of them.
Okay.
They started, you know, in the garage and doing that, and
Were you guys starting off in the electronic stuff or were you just regular guitar, bass?
Hard rock, just, yeah, guitar, bass, drums. Nice. That's our roots, yeah.
Okay.
I remember I was walking, there was a noise coming from a corner and I didn't know how close Danny lived to me.
Oh, okay.
And one day I remember I was just so freaking bored in Calexico, there's nothing to do.
Gotcha. Right?
And I remember I'm just going to take a stroll and it's 110 degrees out there. And I'm walking.
Let's take a stroll out in the heat.
I was that desperate. I'm like, I'm just going to go see what's out there.
Gotcha.
And I kept walking and I encountered a garage where they're jamming out and there was a drum set there and all that. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Remember I was just sitting in the watching them and over span of a few weeks, I remember the singer kind of wasn't, he was kind of like, And I was like, nah, let me get up there.
Yeah.
And
you, like, you can say a name. Who was he? I'm trying to remember. I'm just kidding. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And put him on blast like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that was the first time where they're like, hey, well, there was like no one else showing up to it. And they're kind of like, hey, Alex can kind of sing a little bit.
Okay.
Know? And but yeah, it just, that was kind of like the start of it.
Nice. And how did that transfer over into your style of music that you have today?
Man, that's history. It's just history. I actually stepped away from singing. We even stopped playing together for many years. I started playing drums and then I joined other bands and I had my first kind of like professional gig as a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of reintroduced, brought my boys. Like, hey, I know a good bassist. I know a good guitarist. And then we went on tours and then he did the same thing. He joined another band, was a lot bigger. And then he's like, I know a drummer. I know a guy. And we just always kind of hooked each other up. I think it just came down to the point where it was a pandemic and we were like, why haven't we actually done a band together? And we went ahead and did it. But I think that process was necessary. I needed to be a drummer first and I needed to discover myself and I needed to find my voice and we all needed to find we needed to get into all the music that we got. And he got really into the dark wave stuff. I think first than I did. I was really heavy into like electronic pop and like kind of electronic dance music and stuff like that and indie, and everyone had their own little thing. And I think it was necessary to be in those times
to
be here now, or else it wouldn't have been possible.
Nice. Now you mentioned the pandemic. So you guys cut your debut album, which was called I'm Waving, Not Drowning.
Yep.
Right. That was written mainly during the pandemic, right?
Yes, sir.
Got you. How did you take that experience that you're going through? Because the pandemic was a rough time for just about everybody, right?
Yeah.
How did that inspire your project, your album?
That was more than half of the inspiration of the project, correct? I mean, at least for the music and the lyrical content and the songs. I mean, we touched a lot on we have a song called Panic Room.
Yeah.
You know, and it was literally about them, like, oh, what is it going to come down to? Like, are we, remember there was like talks like, oh, everything's shutting down and, you know, military enforcement. Like, I mean, anything at that point was so scary. And we really, like, a lot of it was about that. But, you know, I mean, we try to cover a lot of different themes and topics with our music and our albums. But the fact that it was during the pandemic, I mean, I don't know if I've ever written an album as fast as we wrote that first album, because we didn't go to our day jobs, because, mm-hmm. you know, he lived a couple blocks away from me. So it was, you know, every day.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to be at home depressed, you know,
right.
on the couch.
It's like, good. It's better for your mental state to go, you know, see somebody, do something creative, do something progressive.
That's it was, there was no biased opinion on what type of music we wanted to make.
That's great.
I think we just pulled all our inspirations together. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I had more of an electronic background.
Mm-hmm.
He had more of the gothic. And Danny's a far more alternative type of person. And we all enjoy all that music, and then created something. But I think we were just trying to cram as many songs and create as many songs as possible, and that's it. And it was a time period that lent itself. We had the space, we had the time to do it. We live close together. I put myself through marketing school, which also kind of helped a lot. So I just took the time. I was like, okay, I have this time. What am I going to do with it? All right, let's create this project without having any expectations from it. I'm going to put myself through marketing school. How does this digital world look like? It's so foreign to a lot of people. And I was just very interested in how... I didn't know at the time that it was going to play a big part into how we were marketing the band. There's just a lot of things that just stumbled upon. And I think it's by taking risks.
Mm-hmm.
And I took risks.
And
I sacrificed time with my family to learn about all these things and all this stuff. And I think it's the right time. It was, I feel bad for saying this, but the pandemic was a gift for me.
I 100% agree. There's a lot of a lot of people have that similar story where due to the isolation and the restrictions of the pandemic, that you kind of, you had the time now, you didn't really have a choice. You went and for your own sanity had to go put and push yourself through something that you may have been kind of had the idea to do, but maybe not had taken the risk, like you said, to actually execute or take action on. I know for me personally, I graduated. So I went back to school because I had stopped going. I was going to college and then I stopped. I got married. I had a kid and I had a kid on the way. My daughter was born and I wanted to finish up school. I've been telling my wife, like, I want to finish this up. So I had started and went back and I was just almost done and I just needed a few more classes. I started in like 2018 and then carried over to 2019, graduated or finished up in 2020. And the funny thing was one of the classes that I was taking was an audio engineering class because my major was in audio engineering and live performance audio. Okay. And so then I sat there and I was like, okay, I was going to the studio at the school all the time. And then they were like, well, guys, COVID, we can't do this anymore. Yeah, yeah. So I ended up just being having to be at home working on Pro Tools and everything at the house, doing all of that. And then over time, like once I graduated, and then like the entire reason why I'm here with Icon now is because once I graduated school and I was still studying other stuff, I studied marketing as well, marketing, advertising, and web design, just because I didn't have anything else to do. COVID was sitting there. Yeah. So I reached out to Shane, I knew he had a studio called Cypher Studios at the time and started here as an intern. And then now this has been years later on. Now I'm part of the team, but that was like that risk that it took. It was whatever. But you guys had mentioned that like you guys had various different types of music that you were into, right? Whether you're more into the dark pop and kind of different genres. But you somehow managed to blend those in with your style that you have. Correct. Tell me a little bit about your creative process. How do you guys decide on the direction that you're going to go for? Is it project by project? Like, can I listen to one album or one and think like, okay, this is following this style and then go into the next one and have something kind of completely different?
I mean, early on, he had worked on a track. It's named Bear. And I had worked on a track called Western Fold, and Danny, I think, had started Rye Fire or something.
We worked on that. We had a bunch of kind of weird demos that were dark leaning.
Okay.
So we know that we wanted it to be dark.
Okay.
Right. But I think with the first record, like I said, we didn't have any opinions on what it was going to be like. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to do things that we enjoyed.
Right.
So I enjoy cinematic music, so Bear was kind of a thing, like had this Blade, John Wick kind of
right
kind of thing, like fight scene of the Matrix or something like that, right? So I really enjoyed that, and I'm like, I'm gonna put some vocals on this and see how it sounds. And then, you know, I think we all have ideas, and we never go into it as needs to sound like this. We never go into with that opinion. Hey, listen to this. I want a record to be like this. I think we've always been put the song first and the style of whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think all those beautiful experiences and flavors that we all enjoy in music are all in there.
Okay.
And we just never say, no, we're not going to do that.
That way you stay open.
Yeah, I think we had a couple of conversations, and I know that we all enjoy, you know, being able to go to the club and listen to a song that makes us dance.
Right.
But then again, we have a background of where we play instruments and we've been in a band. Mm-hmm. So I know that in the back of my head, I was like, I want to make music that you can dance to and that you can go to a show and watch a band play.
I got you.
And that isn't always the easiest, but somehow we were able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, earlier you had mentioned that you heard some of the songs, and some of them are kind of club oriented and some of them are actually songs. So, you know, I know that we wanted to do at least that much. you know, there's always waves of music that come and go, you know, mm-hmm. you know, at some point, you know, metal had its thing, or at some point, you know, hip hop kind of has a resurgence in the underground, and there's all these things kind of happening in music. And I know that I knew in the back of my head, because I've when you're part of the underground, like, you smell things, you're like, oh, this is coming in, gotcha. This is coming back. And, you know, how he mentioned earlier is, like, dark wave for me was, it's always been a passion since I was a teenager. Okay. And I kind of smelled it, and I was like, this thing's kind of coming back. Mm-hmm. And even though people classify us as dark wave, we don't really have that. We don't really fit, even then, now we don't really fit into that box of the new dark wave sound. We have so many genres kind of like melting together. But I knew that I was like, you know, it's almost like opening a new restaurant. You used to have a gastropub, and now you want to do Asian fusion.
Yeah.
And you're a chef. You're like, well, I did the gastropub, and now I'm going to do the Asian fusion food because that's my passion.
I got you.
And I went to school and grew up on Asian, or I'm Asian and I grew up on Asian food, you know? So with us, it was kind of like, I know that if one day we sit down, we say we're going to write a experimental indie album only using, you know, these old instruments, mm-hmm. and we're bringing back a drum kit and we're doing this sound,
yeah,
that we can do it because that's who we are. We're artists, we're musicians, and we have a passion for so many styles of music. Mm-hmm. This just so happens to be what we're doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's transcending because it's real.
Yeah.
It's real to us, and there's so much going on with it. It's honest, and people connect with it because there is honesty, and it's unique in its own way.
Right.
You know, we're blending in sounds of the past with new sounds.
Right.
You know, sometimes, you know, and which is okay. You know, you want to have this, you know, this kind of vintage sound, and that's your thing. I mean, you're going to record on tape, more power to you. Like, that's your sound.
Right.
With us, we're like, well, we like the old dark wave and we like the old sounds, but we have all this new technology. We have all these new methods, and we actually want to, you know, he has a very nice voice. Well, you're welcome. let's utilize his chops. Like, right. let's melt all these things together, and let's, you know, make some club songs too. I mean,
which is kind of like almost a rule in the dark wave world where it's not super singy.
Yeah.
So we've kind of managed to cultivate this weird style where it does have kind of dark wavy, and there's singing, and then there's no singing, and then there's electronic dance music into it. And it's at the point now where people send me a screenshot, like, sounds like Matt Black type of thing. And I think that's been very interesting that someone can now say,
This sounds like
a Matt Black thing.
That's awesome.
And I think for me, that's probably the biggest achievement.
Yeah.
Is that now someone can hear something on the radio, or even in music industry, like, there's sample packs and there's things like, oh, this sounds like a very Matt Black thing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
That's like, what you love.
I keep getting screenshots of boots and cars and clothing that are Matt Black. Yeah.
Like, even your up feet to the and point, his feet are different. Like, what the band members look like, that there's a Matt Black vibe to it.
Right.
I had a friend that went to like a drum and bass show. He's like, man, you need to check out these guys, man. Kind of reminds me of Matt Black. And I've heard it. I'm like, wow, this is kind of like a very Matt Black thing. I'm like, wow, it's like we have a sound now.
Yeah. And that's why it's so hard to put you guys in a specific bubble, because you have your own unique sound.
Yeah.
So when that translates to live and you're performing in front of an audience, what's the audience expectation? What can they expect from a show? You have such a wide variety of music.
It's going to be a combination of a lot of things. You're going to see a live band. You're going to see a portion of that feel like a live DJ set with three DJs on stage. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a portion of it where there's just lights blinding you, and there's lasers, and you're going to see different kinds of instruments on stage.
A lot of percussion.
At one point, you're going to see all three of us playing electronic drums, you know, switching off instruments, making it really interesting. Okay. I don't know if you want to touch more on that.
We just want to be true to who we are.
Yeah.
You know, we back to the garage. Mm-hmm. That's how we started. We were performing that.
Right. Never forget.
So we're not a band that's just going to be like pushing play on something and then
right.
go out in there. No, we're going to dismantle even a song that wasn't meant to sound like a live song. We're going to dismantle those parts, digest them, and find out how we're going to reinterpret this live. And it's not just the performance, but there's also a visual aspect to the band. We made it a priority that when we were going to go live, that we weren't just going to start doing these shows. And we wanted to be in a situation where we were able to perform our first show. It be our first show.
Gotcha.
We be the headlining band and us have our production there.
Nice.
Because when people were perceived, when the perceived Matt Black at first, we had all these visualizers and all these things that kind of tied in the brand of the band.
Right.
And to not be able to do that live.
Yeah.
And show that this is, you know, you don't want to go see a band that you're excited about. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh man, I thought this was going to be like a lot cooler.
Yeah.
No, we just, we wanted all these things to tie in together. So the visual aspect of it is very important.
Right.
Know? If you go to our show, which we'll, maybe we can mention a little bit about
100%.
It. We're playing on March 1st
okay.
at Music Box. But for everyone that's listening,
yeah,
I'm not sure when this is coming out, but...
it'll come out before March 1st.
Cool. So March 1st, we're playing at Music Box. Please go see the show.
Yeah.
But we have a team. You know, we have a Steven who handles all our visuals. Mm-hmm. And it's just very intense. I mean, it's kind of... if you have epilepsy, you probably should not go to the
right,
show.
Right, I get it.
But we have Dane who handles all our lighting design. And when you go to our show, it's intense. And I think one of my favorite things is seeing someone that's never seen us perform.
Right.
And not know anything about us. Mm-hmm. Walk out of the stage, walk out of the show and be like,
wow,
man, that's something else. That's something different. And I don't think we're reinventing the wheel, but I think we, again, are incorporating things that are coming from different genres of music, especially even in the live, how we perform the things live. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're seeing a freaking metal band, but it's electronic. And at the same time, the people that heavily use kind of visuals are more like EDM places.
Right.
They have cool screens and all that. Mix all those things together. I think it just puts a very specific sound and a specific vibe when you go see us. I think when you go see us, you're going to feel that there's this dark, modern aspect of the show where it's like mind-altering as well.
Wow. Wow. That sounds like a very exciting experience.
Yeah.
To go see the shoot.
So funny. I don't think we had big plans right off the gate.
Uh-huh.
And just, I think... we didn't want to take any shortcuts and we kind of already been through this. Like he mentioned, we've been through a lot of bands.
Yeah.
So, and we were just like, what is the best way to come out hitting the ground running right out the gate? I mean, we literally headlined our first show.
Nice.
We put on a full production. If you're signing up to open for a bigger band,
you don't get to do that.
You don't get to do that. They're like, oh, what? You want to bring your lighting guy and you want to have all this... dude, you have 30 minutes and you have 5 minutes to get on stage. You know, like we get it and no disrespect to that way of doing things. But I mean, we've been playing in bands for 15, 20 years, professionally for around 10 years. And we're like, all right, well, this is like, and let's just do it our way.
And I think that's also has been kind of an issue when it came down to agents and things like that. It's like,
No.
You're opening... and you're doing this with minimal stuff. This is the way people do it.
Right.
And we're just kind of, well, you don't get us then.
Right.
We're on our own path. We did our first show. We sold out our first show.
Nice.
And then so forth and so forth. And we're just growing and growing. And if you can't see our plan, then, you know, you don't get to be a part of what we're doing.
You need people with that same vision that you have.
Right. And there's no wrong or right way of doing it. Sure, we could have opened slots and just been the opening band forever. But we didn't want to do that. Like I said, it's just the branding and the visual aspect of it was an important thing. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do that, we can't do your show.
Wow. So you guys, you mentioned that you took a lot of the experiences that you had from previous bands and all of that.
Yeah.
Like you guys played for, or you have members of the band that played for, what is it, Stone Temple Pilots? And
we went on tour with Stone Temple Pilots. Okay, we went on tour with Bush and the
Alice
Cult.
Alice Glass, right?
Alice Glass from Crystal Castles. These are all bands that we've shared stages with.
Right.
Korn. Gotcha.
Yeah. From Korn. I mean, it's a wide range of artists that we've all kind of shared the stage with, been on tour with.
Yeah. And we're just in a studio with the guys from, you know, Perfect Circle.
Nice.
And Pussifer and Devo. And we just kind of, we get involved in a lot of things. But yeah, we've had just a lot of experiences in the past where we learn from that. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, where did we miss the mark?
Right.
Early on. So with the opportunity again of starting something fresh, mm-hmm. is we're not doing these things this way.
Gotcha. We're not making the same mistakes.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
We're not doing this anymore. We're going to stick to our guns. Mm-hmm. And if people don't understand it, they will one day.
Right.
And, you know, we went from starting a band in 2020 to now being headlining our own tours. Mm-hmm. So how is it a band with no label, no right. agents, selling out shows?
Gotcha. That's what I was going to ask. Because I see you guys do some crowdfunding stuff and all of that, which obviously to do anything big on a like on a certain level, you need capital, obviously.
Right.
There's a creative side of the music industry and all that kind of stuff. Just like anything else, whether it be writing books or any art, it's going to be a creative side. But then there's a business side and a business element right. that a lot of people don't quite understand. And unfortunately, sometimes you have people that are better in business than they are in the creative that can right. make it and they can push certain things. That's right. why certain music that's popular out there isn't any good, because they're great business people, but the creativity wasn't there, and then vice versa. You guys, with the crowdfunds and everything, what do you guys actually do? Like, how do you guys manage all of that and use that to kind of inspire projects?
We all kind of work together on it. I mean, I'm a little bit to blame because I worked with a band before that did a very successful campaign. Uh-huh. And I remember in the first album, I was presenting it to the guys. And it's, you know, maybe there was a little bit of fear in being like, is it too soon, or are right. we not popular enough? Would anyone even like us? Mm-hmm. And I don't know why when I get this certain feeling, I'm just like, I don't, let's just do it. Let's just right, go right. for it. Someone out there will
it's like taking right. risks.
Taking another risk.
So when somebody, when you get those initial backers, are you using like Kickstarter, Indiegogo and all of that?
Indiegogo right now.
Indiegogo.
Yeah, so he was the one with the idea okay. for that. If he wouldn't have brought that idea to the table, I think we probably would have self-funded the mm-hmm. record. Who knows if we even would have made a record.
Right,
but
and this, like, the crowdfund is just for the production of the record?
To print it, okay. to basically get it in our hands, yeah. right? Because it's very expensive. Vinyl's super expensive.
100%.
And,
yeah. You guys are printing on vinyl?
Yeah merch. Oh, yeah.
That's the best seller.
Yeah.
We sell more vinyl than anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna have to get my hands.
You know,
on
he kind of brought those to the table, but we were very lucky to have each other in this band because everybody has these different skill sets and he has these wild ideas. I thought Indiegogo was a wild idea. I'm like, mm-hmm. who the hell is gonna freaking give us any money? And then week two, we freaking like got all the money.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm just gonna shut up now.
Right.
Right?
Like, all right, let him do his thing.
Have you ever gone to see an artist and they used to be in a really popular band, but then it's just the artist doing their solo thing?
Yeah.
So I had some gigs where I was the guy in the back.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the main guys are in the front. Mm-hmm. But then after the shows, I would go hang out and have a drink and people would be like, oh my gosh, I'm hanging out with the guitar player. I'm hanging out with the bass player. I'm just like, hey, what's up? Became friends with all these fans from these older bands I was in.
Okay.
And they just followed me online. Next thing you know, I'm like, they're all hitting me up saying, I love your new project, or I want to support this.
Nice.
So I knew in my head, I was like, this is our new band, but I know that fans from our older projects that we played in are going to support.
That's right. Awesome. That's
you
awesome.
Know, that was just the initial
that
part of
too,
it.
Yeah. Is the previous bands that we're in.
Right.
I think we had some kind of supporters.
Yeah, because with each group, there's going to be a fan base. Like, you always have fans of the overall project. But then if I really like the guitar player or the bass player or whatever like that, and I'm using him as an inspiration, mm-hmm. or anything like that, you're going to have your own independent fan base as well. So you get to carry that along with your projects. When you do the crowdfunds, do your backers get anything that is separate from, like, so obviously you're going to go through the crowdfunding process first, and then mm-hmm. probably do the mass print later on.
Right. So we we don't start a campaign until we know we're finished with the work.
That's great.
Right. So now we need to fund the production of it, which is the physicals and all that. But we make sure that we're just not giving people a piece of vinyl, but mm-hmm. we're giving people other opportunities to interact with the band, mm-hmm. Giving people opportunities to put their name forever in the record.
Nice.
You know, if, let's just say you support an artist and you love an artist, and if you truly are a fan, wouldn't you want your name on that copy of that record? Mm-hmm. And you were a part of funding that. And you don't know where this band's going to go. What if they happen to be successful and you were on there, you supported this band, you helped fund that record.
That's great.
And I think that kind of changed my perspective a lot. I think people think that streaming mm-hmm. is the thing. Right?
Yeah.
Streaming. Mm-hmm. But we've never been focused on getting our streams. We've been focused on putting good product mm-hmm. and getting people to our shows,
yeah,
and having people supported in that end. And we've had success. We've had success in selling the records. We had success on selling the merchandise. We had success on getting people to the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's funny. People are chasing views and streams. Mm-hmm. It ain't really that. Do you want more plays and streams? Does that make you feel better? Yeah. Or do you want people at your show?
Right, exactly. I'm going to tell you.
And those are two different goals.
When the cost of, or like, if we look at the revenue that you get off of a stream, like you look at Spotify, YouTube
joke.
Music and everything like that,
joke.
You have to have millions and millions of listeners to make a fraction of what you're making off of a live show. Right. When you sell out a show, that's more profitable.
And the thing is, like, a lot of bands, I think, and a lot of people have a misconception that people don't buy records anymore. Mm-hmm. So I've came across this a lot while we're doing PR and things like that, that, well, no one, who's releasing albums? Why? Mm. It's all about the track.
Yeah.
The one track, but they're wrong.
Right.
People like things.
They like
the
physical.
They want to feel it. They want to mm-hmm. see it. They want to hold it. It's true. Mm-hmm. You can't just say that people are not going to do it. And that's where the risk was, where mm-hmm. he's like, hey, man, we're bringing this. And I'm like, do we even have fans that are going to ever want this? And I put my foot in my mouth. They do. They want to see it. I mean, every time they go to the show, they grab it. They want to sign it. They want a copy of it. And they buy them. They buy them every day. Mm-hmm. So
it's an interesting conversation piece. You have a dinner party. Friends are over. Dude, check out this new band.
Right. I recently got into, so I'm not too familiar with musical crowdfunding. That's an interesting element that I'm considering, because I got some projects at the worst. Mm-hmm. I'm like, interesting. That's a new avenue that I kind of never really considered. But I've recently got more into the, so when I, growing up, I was never really that big into comics. But as I got older, I got more and more into comic books and all of that kind of stuff. And then just literature as a whole. And so I realized, like, okay, you have the crowdfunding element of things. Only the issue with certain crowdfunding things is how long it takes for somebody to get the product, right? So it'll be like, that's why I like when you said that you want to have the project done. The crowdfund is for the production of things, but the project itself is actually finished.
Yeah.
Like, good. I respect that. Because if I got to sit there, if I back your campaign and then I got to wait a year or so or whatever to get the project, it's like, oh gosh, man, you're just sitting there with my money. And then sometimes you have unfortunate cases where they never even get the project.
Yeah.
So I respect the quick turnaround, because that kind of fills your audience with confidence to kind of keep pushing and keep it going. So now let's talk about new projects that you guys have going on. What kind of things can people expect coming from Matt Black?
Right now we're promoting our new single, Vows.
Vows, okay.
It's a self-titled song off the forthcoming album. It's called Vows.
Okay. So you guys have three albums done already, right?
No, we have one album. This would be our sophomore album.
Oh, okay, so gotcha.
We're actually in that, we have in Indiegogo.
Okay.
Campaign live right now,
gotcha.
Which we just hit 100% yesterday.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're very excited about that piece of work. I think it's a very mature and focused and very purposeful record. I think it's a step forward for the band.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the growth
nice
in the band. And I'm very excited for it to be out.
Nice. How different would you say this album is compared to?
Not very different, but it's very mature. So it's actually more, when I say focused, is before we were just kind of putting our sounds together, our inspirations together, and just making the best possible records. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I've personally grown as a producer. Nice. So I have a better skill set. Mm-hmm. I think now that we know what Matt Black sounds like, and what fans know what Matt Black sounds like, now it's not foreign for us to create a track and be like, oh, this is definitely us, and this is definitely our vibe. So, like I said, it's very focused. It's very zoned in. The drum work is pretty much really next level to me. When I hear some of the stuff, I'm really proud of it, mainly because it's just, I think, in my opinion, some of the best work that has ever come out from myself, at least. And I don't know if you feel the same way.
No, yeah.
It's very, very cool. And there's a lot of, it's still very Matt Black. Mm-hmm. It's still our sound. You're not going to miss anything from that. Oh, they changed their sound. They don't sound like the first record. It's going to sound like the first, but there's just so many new elements going into it.
It's
going
to expand on what we do.
And there's going to be a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't expect to be in there.
That's cool.
But it's still going to be
there's going to be a couple tracks that are really surprisingly different, but still lost. You're like, oh man, they did this? Like, oh, different, but cool. You know, I think that a lot, me as a fan of music, and he touched on it, was I love a band so much and I love this album. And it's like defined so much artistically and lyrically and visually. And then they release the next album and I'm just like, did they change their sound because this thing was happening in pop music and they wanted
why is there a banjo?
They wanted to appease what's happening in culture. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. But with us, we are expanding on other styles that we really enjoy.
Nice.
You know, or now that we have our own studio and we're songwriting more, like, can we expand on our songwriting? You know, can we expand on his voice and what he can do? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we expand on, you know, like he said, you know, about the drum programming, like he's a drummer and a singer. So what better way to, you know, be a drum programmer for your band?
Right.
And, you know, I'll go in there and I'm like, wow, like, I didn't know you could like take this song further with a drum program. And he's in there like doing stuff that, you know, only someone with a little more time could pull off, you know? So like, there's all these things that you're going to hear that is only going to make the experience better and expand on it. And I'm actually really, really stoked on it. I mean, if I'm kind of, you know, with me, sometimes I'm the easiest person to please and the hardest person to please when it comes to music.
Okay.
And I know sometimes like we're in the studio and he'll look at me and be like, do you like this? Cause right. Cause in the past I've been like, oh, I don't. Yeah, no, this isn't us. No, it's way too. I've even gotten to the point where I'm like, this is too good.
Yeah.
No. Make it uglier.
This needs to be grittier and dirtier.
So do you guys have like a favorite track off of your previous album that you go back and listen to? Like for me, when I listen to like my parents have a band, right? And so I'll go back and I'm going to tell you, they can put out as many projects as they want. Like they've put out a nice handful of projects. But their very first one that was on a cassette tape, that's the one that me and my cousins and all of us, like growing up, we'd always go back to.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, that's the one that we love listening to because there are certain things that were in those tracks that the other ones, they sounded great. But I'm like, man, this other stuff hits harder.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like every time like they have their rehearsals, whenever they decide, hey, let's play that song that we played in, all of us that grew up, we're like losing our mind, like, let's go. And my dad is an amazing bass player. My mom is a great singer, right?
Amazing.
And they go in there and they go crazy on that. Right, and it's like, that's what you want. Do you have anything that you listen to? You're like, you know what? That's Matt Black. The other ones, yes, I love. This is great. But they're like, this is my sound.
I mean, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't. I don't have any particular.
It's like asking Alex which one is his favorite kid. don't say it.
I hate being cheesy about it, but I don't have anything that's particular. I think all of them have a different. I have a different emotional connection to each one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna say I don't have a favorite one. I like playing them all.
Yeah.
I have different feelings. All of them bring something out.
I got you. Your fans probably have their favorites, though.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get, like, requests? Like, you go to perform or anything like
that? We play them all, man.
You're just playing everything you got. I love it.
That's a good, nice thing about only having two albums.
You get to play. Your library isn't that big.
It's not that big. We play it all, man. So if they don't like it, they're hearing it.
Yeah, I get you.
The funny thing is, we've been performing a lot of our new material from the new album.
Okay.
Even in the last tour, the last show. So there's people at the end of the really, what is that song? Mm-hmm. What do you,
at least. They upload it on YouTube and they'll say, no, we don't know the name of the song. Untitled.
Oh, man. That's always nice when you're at a live performance. You get a sneak peek into a new project that's coming out. You get all amped up about it. It's like getting an exclusive.
Well, it even gives
one of our new songs is our closer. And people lose their shit over it.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry, that's awesome. Not sure. Can I cuss?
That's fine.
Yeah, one of our.
It's so hard for me not
closer.
It's so hard for me not to cuss. Like, I'm literally like, I'm a sailor, man. Like, I.
We try to keep it relatively clean.
Watching every word I say.
So you have that. What's the song? The what is it called? It is Midnight Angel.
Yeah.
Right. Midnight and Angel. Right, yes. That one has a heavy drum influence, right? Yeah. Heavy percussive process for it, and we'll share that with the audience so that you guys can take a listen to it. But tell me about the process when it comes to just developing that song. As you said, like, you're a drummer and a singer and everything, and you guys have that industrial kind of sound to it. Tell me about the process on that song.
You pinpointed perfectly. It started with drums, okay. Right? But the first element that I was thinking about, and I think I probably even recorded it, I voice record my, nice. It sounds so dumb. If you heard them all, I would kill myself.
I'm a songwriter myself, bro.
And I just do that. And there's a little pluck that has these triplet. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pluck.
Okay.
It's a synth little, like tight little pluck.
Yeah.
But at first, I was thinking, what if it was a tom? Mm-hmm. And I tried it with a tom, and I was like, it doesn't quite sound like it. Mm-hmm. It has to, like, kind of pitch and sound. And honestly, the first time I heard something like that, have you seen The Tenant?
Yeah. The movie that everybody thinks they like, but nobody understands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tenant has a constant weird variation of a triplet sound.
Okay.
If you hear it, you'll be like, that's,
yeah.
That's what he was talking about. So I was messing with something that was kind of similar, which is actually kind of a constant thing in this new album. There's a little bit of that kind of triplet plucky thing happening, which kind of ties all the album together. But I was messing with that, and then I dropped a boom, 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 ka.
Nice.
Boom, ka, boom, 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 ka. And that's how the beat started. And then I was messing with the bass. And I think right around that time, they walk in.
Nice.
They walk in, they're like, what the hell's this?
We're all doing this. Yeah. If you would have walked in, we're all doing this on our heads right here.
They're like, oh, man. And some songs, they just click immediately. Yeah. So like I said, they walked in. I was digging that beat. And I had that bass. And then I started riffing. Vocally, I tend to do that. Mm-hmm. I start speaking fake English. I start doing that, and we grab a mic really quickly because you're gonna forget that it happened, and I'll record the fake mumbles.
Yeah,
and then he's like, okay, what if? All right, what if it said something like this? Okay, that sounds good. Boom, and then I think by the end of the day we had. The beginning, the verse, and a chorus. The chorus actually took a little bit because I was singing something else. They were saying, well, what if it went like this? And we just kind of, and then at the end, what I was singing became the bridge.
Okay.
And then what they were saying became the chorus.
Nice.
And I mean, that was basically what that track is. And production wise, I would say I'm really proud of how that came out.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds great.
Always happen that fast.
No.
And quick, so those moments that we have to, like, really just grab a hold of them and just ride them. I think we rode that till like 2-3 in the morning. We're like, all right, let's keep getting this to where it's supposed to be. Cause you might revisit it a week later and be like, man, I just don't got it today, you know? I mean, just yesterday or 2 days ago, we were finishing a song that we started 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we literally put on the back burner, shelved it, and we're like, we don't know. And think about that. It took 2 years. Not that we worked on it for every day for 2 years, but like
it just wasn't clicking.
It just wasn't clicking. So, you know,
we liked it, but it just,
every song has its journey, or every production or everything. Like, you can't rush it because it has to be good and it has to be special and it has to be real.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes, man.
Nice. So what I want to do is I want to take a moment to share this, share the video with the audience. They can check it out so you can hear a little bit of what they're talking about. Check it out. So, for the audience, for your new fans that you're definitely going to acquire from all of this publicity and great marketing that she did, what can your fans expect from you guys kind of coming up from like engagement? What can they, people always, they want to rally behind, you know, people. They have a product and then they rally behind the people. What can fans just expect from Matt Black and the culture that you guys create?
Yeah, so like we've been talking about the new album. You can help support it on our crowdfunding campaign. It's on Indiegogo. You can literally Google Matt Black Vows, V-O-W-S. Matt Black, M-A-T-T-E-B-L-V-C-K, mm-hmm. and it'll pop up. Aside from that, we have a show March 1st in at the Music Box. We're headlining it. It's in downtown San Diego. We're like Little Italy area. Right. Great venue, amazing sound, great food too if you get there early enough, you know. What else am I missing?
Fans can expect a tour. Okay. We should be touring this year pretty heavily. Probably nice. Be a big our biggest year when it comes down to.
I'm kind
shows.
Of excited. I can't announce it yet, but yeah, we're working on stuff.
Yeah, you're working on stuff. You got a lot of things in the works. A
lot of stuff in the works, but yeah.
That's awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. This has been amazing. I love every bit of it. I love the energy that you guys have behind your music. That's one of the best things that as a musician and producer myself, I respect that so much.
Appreciate
you have
it,
people that believe in the product and you take the experiences that you have in the past to inspire your future. That's what you got to do. And that's how you guys are able to elevate your projects. So if you want to throw out your socials so that people can know where to find you. And
Our social handle is very easy. It's Matt Black US.
Okay.
And at Matt Black US everywhere. It's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I mean, we're pretty much everywhere. Pornhub.
Joking.
Well, that reminds
hub.
Me.
Before, oh my gosh.
Before
you,
we
you want to find that drum beat in the intro of the video?
That is you. That's great. Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure of mine. Be sure to check out iconpresentspodcast.com. You'll be given an exclusive link directly to this episode, as well as all of their projects, blog posts, and everything that we have for Matt Black and everything that Icon Presents. Again, we love to highlight creators, give them a platform to showcase and explore new adventures. So check it out. Thank you very much for tuning in. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Y'all take it easy.